a part of the order of worship for me to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and say thank you to the elders for allowing me to speak tonight, and thank you for the Henderson Campus Ministry team for selecting me as one of the guys who can come here this semester and hopefully help us better learn a portion of God's Word. You know, I see guys come up here every week that I look up to so much, and they do such a great job of bringing these lessons, and I'm not exactly sure how I got chosen to help them or be a part of that, but I am truly appreciative for the chance to attempt to do the same. I was provided a list of topics from which I could select what I'd like to speak on this evening. And while I chose the passage that Zach just read, Isaiah 6:8, the specific theme I was encouraged to address was willingness to work, and I assume as seen in Isaiah chapter 6. Before we delve into the scriptures, I'd like to be honest for a moment. While I was raised in the church, I was baptized at the age of 11. I've never, until preparing for this lesson, taken the time to thoroughly study parts of the book of Isaiah. This opportunity helped me put a necessary context around a verse that we so frequently quote without possibly knowing why it is that Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I, send me." My goal for the evening is that over the course of the next few minutes, we can put this passage, Isaiah 6:8, into its proper scriptural context, and then consider how we can apply it to our lives more knowledgeably. First, a little background of what is going on at the time of Isaiah chapter 6. Uzziah was the king of Judah, and we know that he was a successful ruler. There are several accounts that say agriculture was booming. Individuals had more liberties and freedoms than they had in any other time in history. Quality of life was higher at this time than it had ever been, and levels of prosperity were being seen that hadn't been reached since the days of Solomon. As historical trends usually suggest, the wealthier a people get, the more they begin to believe that such riches are their entitlement, that it's their right. These people, in the face of worldly success, allowed their dependence on God to fade and let sinful behavior become a social commonality. A little bit about Isaiah. We don't actually ever see an overly detailed account about Isaiah himself. In fact, we learn more about Isaiah through his preaching and his prophecy, which to me shows the genuinity of Isaiah as a servant of God. I was thinking while I was studying, how amazing would it be if we could be exemplary of Isaiah in this aspect of his life, so that others may know who we are through our religious convictions. I personally think that's kind of cool. Although that doesn't have much to do in helping us grow in our understanding of Isaiah chapter 6, we can definitely apply such a selfless mentality to our willingness and our desire to work for and to work towards the kingdom. Verse 1 of chapter 6 tells us that it was in this year that Uzziah died and Isaiah had his first prophetic vision from God. Isaiah, in the course of chapter 6, describes his encounter with the Almighty. Verses 1 through 4 tell of how God was seated at his throne. His robe filled the room, and seraphim were praising him, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What Isaiah says in response to witnessing this awesome scene is where most of us begin to be reminded of what this passage holds. His reaction is one of humility and reverence, of course. Isaiah in verse 5 says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." The footnotes in my Bible say that undone here is synonymous with destroyed. "Woe is me, for I am destroyed." He continues, "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Upon seeing Jehovah, Isaiah immediately acknowledged his complete unworthiness to be in the presence of his Creator. It's at this moment in his vision that Isaiah receives his call to be a prophet. Verse 6 says that one of the seraphim touches the lips of Isaiah with a live coal taken from the altar, stating, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Now we know that God alone can forgive sins, but in his vision, this action taken by the seraph is symbolic of forgiveness from God himself. It isn't until after Isaiah's sins are atoned for that he is able to receive the call to prophesy for the Lord. Verse 8, which was my assigned passage for tonight, then reads, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" If I were in Isaiah's situation, I like to think that it would be fairly easy to reply as he did here. "I am standing before the throne of God, and he has addressed me directly. I would be scared to death, but I know for a fact that even if I didn't want this responsibility to be a prophet, there is no way I'm going to say no after hearing God speak to me." What the Lord tells Isaiah next seems to initially be discouraging, I think. But I also like to think that Isaiah was aware of this before God even said it to him, which is what to me says a lot about Isaiah's true willingness to work for the Lord. Verses 9 and 10 tell of the difficulties that Isaiah will face as he attempts to spread the truth. God said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Here God is saying that Isaiah is basically preaching to a people that have already made up their minds to ignore him. Though Isaiah will be speaking the truth directly from the Lord, his words will mean nothing to almost everyone that he encounters. How discouraging is that? Upon hearing this, Isaiah asks in verse 11, "Lord, how long?" I consulted several commentaries while studying for this lesson, and that question, "Lord, how long?" could mean one of two things. It could first mean, "Lord, how long until these people's hearts are fully hardened?" Or it could mean, "Lord, how long must I preach your word in this world?" From what I concluded, the answers to both questions are about the same. Here Isaiah fully realizes that the task before him, this task is before him, and though he understands its necessity, he also sees its probability of failure. The answer that Isaiah receives is no more encouraging than what we saw back in verses 9 and 10. God replies, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land." When I initially read this, my first thought was, why? Why, if the Lord knows that no one will turn to him, does he still direct Isaiah to this people? The final verse of the chapter allows a sliver of encouragement to shine through all of this darkness. "But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump." That's confusing, I think. It was confusing to me, at least, until I read it about what felt like 10 times. If the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, it is like a tree being cut down. There will be some who escape this destruction and who will return to rebuild, but that number itself will be few. There will likewise be a few whose hearts are softened by the words that Isaiah preaches to them. There will be the stump that remains, and from that remaining people will the kingdom of God grow. So hopefully now that we're more familiar with the exact context of Isaiah 6:8 regarding Scripture, what does Isaiah's call to be a prophet mean to us today? Well, first we must be willing to work. I believe that much is clear. I can't begin to tell you how many times in the course of this study that I thought of the society in which we now live in comparison to the hard-hearted people spoken of in Isaiah chapter 6. In the United States today, quality of life is better than it has ever been in the history of mankind anywhere. Much better even than Judah when Uzziah was their ruler. It was this socioeconomic prosperity that then led people to abandon God, and it is no different today. We have become a people who truly believe that we deserve the riches we possess, and that is a sad but honest reality. We sometimes forget that we too have been called to be ambassadors of our God. There was no vision or prophecy involved, but we read in Mark 16:15 that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all living creatures. I would say that the moral climate in which we now live is not significantly different from the one we read of in Isaiah chapter 6. Not only are we called to bring the word of God to all living creatures, but we are to do so with the knowledge that most of them will disregard every word that comes out of our mouths. Nevertheless, we must preach the gospel to them anyways, because for every 100, for every 1,000, for every 10,000 people that ignore their salvation, someone will be willing to obey. It is in the times that we are most discouraged by a lack of receptiveness from others when we should look back to the story of Isaiah as written in chapter 6. We must condition ourselves to the point that our willingness to work exceeds our fear of failure. Isaiah had the opportunity to see our Lord, to hear the voice of God. But while we will not have that opportunity for some time, we do have His written word. And from it, we receive our call to preach the gospel, no matter how few people wish to hear its truth. I hope that tonight has allowed you to gain more of an understanding of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, which many of us so often use in our inventory of memorized scriptures. Remember this. As we read in Matthew chapter 5, we are meant to be the light of the world. The purpose of light is to shine in the darkness. And in the world today, that darkness is great and it is growing. Our challenge has been revealed. We are to preach to the lost. What's yet to be determined is our response. It is my hope and my prayer that each of us has the courage to say, "Lord, here am I, willing to work, willing to serve, send me." It's at this point in tonight's service that an invitation is offered for those who feel there's something on their hearts that is preventing them from living in a way that Christ would deem acceptable. Maybe you have yet to become a member of that church. And if that is something that you struggle with and you understand its importance and its pertinence, then we ask that you come forward as we stand to sing.